It's good to see you here this morning at Barbie's Grove. We appreciate every person that's here. We pray that you'll just receive a special blessing as you worship with us. Anyone that might be in the parking lot, anyone that's listening later online, we pray that you're just really, really blessed as you honor the Lord Jesus Christ by your worship. Now, I know Leonard will say something in a minute about the North Carolina Missions Offering, but let me add, sometimes you wonder, what happens to that money? Well, 60-some percent of that goes to the North Carolina Baptist on Mission. And I got a text this week that said, since Hurricane Helene went through a year ago, North Carolina Baptist on Mission had served 500,000 meals. Now that's a lot of hungry people fed. And they have rebuilt 500 homes. Folks, when you give to that offering, you're really, really blessing people down at the ground roots level. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We thank you for your blessings. We pray now that the Spirit of God might just pervade this place. Give us spiritual ears to hear what you have to say to us through the music, the prayers, the announcements, the message. Lord, may we respond with the appropriate commitment of our lives to Jesus Christ. And Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we honor you this day in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. Good to see you in your places, as we normally do on Sunday morning. The first thing we want to do, hymn sing. And this morning, we're going to sing more about Jesus. And we're here to learn more and more about Jesus each and every week and each and every day. Let's all stand together and sing more about Jesus. We'll be all four verses. Yes.
I'm sorry. I only ended up with three verses.
You did three verses?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. We'll do three. You in charge of that up there. We'll be all right. All right. Here we go. Let's sing.
More about Jesus would I know.
remain standing for prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for having your house worship, Lord. Each and every one that's here today, one not here, and each and every need, Lord. The upcoming hour of prayer, Lord, prayer the messengers, prayer the messengers. You just give a word of thanking in Jesus' name and pray.
Amen. You may be seated. I have some announcements I want to share with you, and first I want to thank a group of people that kind of helped me out last week. I hate to have fell out on you up here, but thank God we have the people in our church that we do that can help you in a time of need and help you in the way they did. They had me back on my feet in about 10 minutes or 15, and I was not doing very well when I went back there. And so thank God for you, and thank you for your help, and we appreciate it so, so very much. All right, we got a few announcements I want to share with you at this time, and that is today. Now, today we will have youth and children meet, right? We got that? Okay. And we'll have adult prayer time at 5, and then also at 5:30, church training union. Okay, training. So be in your place for that. Then Wednesday night, we'll have our Bible study. We're going to continue on and where we are. And then the next Sunday, we will have... our youth will sing next Sunday during the time of praise. We're looking forward to that, so be sure you're there for that. Then also, the NC Home Missions offerings that the pastor has just spoke about, continuing on, and the emphasis there, when you need to keep doing it, and let's keep giving. Brenda, what's our total?
820.
We have 820, so we got a ways to go, so do that. We'll have our deacons meeting in October, and then the Golden Ages apple trip. Brenda, you want to share anything on that before we... Golden Ages...
The bus reserved. They will be here at 8 o'clock, 14th. So everybody come to one. I'll have a sign-up sheet up next week.
And we're going a little different route this time, aren't we?
We'll be going up Highway 74, not going through Lake Bloor, because we're
right.
Very close.
Yeah. Okay, very good. All right, listen, if you've never been before, come on, load up, let's go with us. And you don't have to be a Golden Ager. If you feel like you're a Golden Ager, you come. Just come, we'd be glad to have you. So just see Miss Brenda, and we'll be glad to do it. We have it. It's a great way to do it, because we have Burke's tour taking care of us, and they do all the driving. You don't have to put up with my driving any longer, and that's probably a good thing. So that's really a good thing. So y'all come and be part of this. You'll enjoy it a lot. Are there any announcements I'm overlooking anywhere besides? We've got one more to go here. You've got an insert in your bulletin today, and it says, join us for a diaper and wipe. And I'm going to say, is that sprinkle?
No.
I never heard it called that. I'm sorry. I'm old.
It's not a shower anymore.
It's not a shower. It's just a sprinkle?
Yeah, because it's just diaper and wipes.
Oh, that's why it's called a sprinkle. I'm learning things so much. Now, Robert, you know Robert. I don't believe you much. The time I met
time, but that's just all right. Some of you ladies back here now, you helped me last Sunday. Help me here. What does this sprinkle mean?
It's for the second. So for a baby, the first baby, you do a shower. It's a baby shower. It's a small baby shower because she already has
one. Anyway, Kelly, you're due for a sprinkle. Now, in this case, if you're a Baptist, you need to have an immersion. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right. I got it now. Anyway, here's the deal, folks. October the 5th, right after worship, come and be part of this diaper and wipe sprinkle, okay? That's great. I just learned something. That's so good. It's always good when you can keep learning at my age. I can tell you that. You never stop, do you? All right. Any announcements that I've overlooked at all? Yes. Somebody call me. Yeah, you, Jeff. I thought I heard a voice. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. You told me you was going to do this. Up on the screen for you to look at, Barber's Grove Boston Butt Sale. And that's part of it. And listen, there's the price up there. And is that $45 each? And pick up on.
See the Baptist pen after the service real quick.
And I want to tell you, if you like barbecue, you know you'll like this. It's really good. November the 22nd. Okay? So let us know, and the Baptist men will be glad to take your order, or you can see Jeff or myself, either body, any one of us, and take care of that for you. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you getting that done. All right, any more? All right, let's go to our prayer request this morning. I don't have any that's been given to me early, so I'll have to take it from you. Our prayer request or what now? Anybody have any? Yes, go ahead, Anna. I'm sorry, Emily?
Emily Whitley.
Okay, Emily Whitley.
Yes, so they're due October the 8th.
Okay. October the 8th due. That's great. All right. Anywhere else? Well, that's unusual. That we praise God for the fact that we don't have a lot of prayer requests this morning. So do that. There are no more. Let's just have to go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, to worship. And Lord, we thank you so much for a time that we can feel free to worship your holy name. God, we thank you, Lord. We acknowledge who you are. We acknowledge you, Lord, as Yahweh, the great God, the one and only living God. And Lord, we know that you can take care of any problem that we have. And we don't have problems so big that you can't handle them with us, Lord. But now, Lord, this morning we want to come to you and thank you. But we also want to ask you, Lord, to a couple of people that we've been asked. We have Emily that needs your blessing as they prepare to have a child. And Lord, let's go. We also have Jerry Hartzell, Lord, that we want to bring before you today, Lord, as who has fallen and broken bones. But Lord, then we want to remember our pastor who stands before us today and who will bring the sermon to us. We want to ask you a blessing upon him as he goes forward into today's as we go. And then, Lord, as we also want to remember our nation, Lord, as we seem to be in so much trouble, so much trials and tribulations going on within our country. But, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you've got a great healing hand. Lord, help us to find a way. Help us, Lord, to find a way back to you to where we need to be. And then, Lord, we pray your blessings upon us as we go forward next week. Help us to remind someone and have someone that we could talk to about their need for Christ. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. All right, let's sing a beautiful song that I picked out this morning. It's called Breathe On Me. And it's a beautiful song, and I think it fits well into our time of worship time this morning. So let's all stand together and sing Breathe On Me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Seated. Children, you are dismissed.
This morning, I want us to look at a passage in the Old Testament that I hope will help amplify the Sunday school lesson from last week and this week and next week. And if I say the same thing that one of your teachers said, good, you probably needed to hear it twice anyway. But I hope maybe to add a few things that will give you some thought. You know, we talked about our greatest need was forgiveness of sin. And God's greatest gift is Jesus. Sin separates us from a relationship with God, and Jesus puts it back together. And I don't know who thought up all the sayings that I heard growing up, but this week I was reminded of one that went like this. Every tub must sit on its own bottom. Or sometimes every pot must sit on its own bottom. You may have heard it one way or both ways. I heard it both ways. The point being, we're responsible for our own decisions and our own actions. Now, it's common today to say, well, they grew up in a poor neighborhood. They grew up with an abusive family, or they didn't get the education they needed, or this, that, or the other. But ultimately, when we stand before the Lord, we're responsible for our own decisions. What we chose to do, what we chose to say, how we chose to act, all affect us. Now, we're going to go to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Now, you've got to remember, we are on the good side of the birth, the life, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. We know a lot more than the psalmist knew. The Holy Spirit revealed some things to him, but he didn't know about the cross. He didn't know about the resurrection. He didn't know some of the things that we know. He didn't know that our Savior was going to be Jesus. He knew that a Messiah was coming. He just didn't know when and who. And so as we look at Psalm 49, I want us to think about several things. Verse 1 through 3 and then verse 10. Hear this, all ye inhabitants, give ear, all ye people of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. For he that seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Very plainly, the psalmist is aware we're all going to come to the end of our life. If the rapture does not happen, all of us are going to die. That's just the way it is. There's coming a time. And you know, he uses words like low and high, rich and poor, wise, fools, brutish, all of us. It doesn't matter what station of life, whether we were very wealthy or very poor, whether we were smart or whether we were very foolish, whether we acted like an animal, or whether we had the most gentle of manners, we're all going to die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then what? After that, the judgment. After that, the judgment. So a wise person is going to make preparation for the end of his life. Because after all, sin is our problem. And it separates us from God. Now let's look at verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. And then verse 16 through 20. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. Men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in an honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. It says, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. when you come to the end of life. It doesn't matter how much other people have praised you, how many plaques you have on the wall of man of the year, woman of the year, most valuable player, or whatever. I've been into homes where kids were into certain athletics and they had a place in the wall as big as between those two stained glass with shelves with all the trophies. He says it doesn't matter what we have, how much are we going to leave behind? All of it. All of it. All of it. It doesn't matter how wealthy a person is, we're going to leave it behind. I heard a joke about this mean man. He told his wife, says, there's so many $100,000 in a certain place. I want you to put it in my casket. I'm taking it with me. So somebody says to her after the funeral, said, well, did you do what he said? Well, sort of. I kept the cash and I wrote him a check. Because he not never going to cash that check. But we all leave it behind. Everything we've got. And all the praise and honors. And if we were not such a good person, all the curses and all the judgments against us, we leave it all behind. So the psalmist says we need to prepare to die, and we need to be aware that no matter what we have, we're going to leave it behind. Now, the verses that really jump out every time I read this psalm, go back to verse 6, 7, and 8. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. Now, folks, that ought to be a sobering fact for every one of us. He says, money cannot buy your salvation, nor can your money buy the salvation of anybody else. Now, that's a fact of life. It doesn't matter how much money a person has. We can be a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire, if there are any. And it will not get us into heaven. And we can love our people, our brothers, our sisters, our spouse, our mom, our dad, whoever. But our money cannot get them into heaven. No way. There are people that I've loved that, you know, if I'd had the money and I could have bribed God, I would have. But the psalmist says, your money cannot get you into heaven. And it can't get anybody else into heaven. Now, you keep that in mind in a few minutes. Verse 8, the redemption of our soul is precious, it ceaseth forever. And verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Our salvation is through God. Our salvation is through God. Just keep your place there, but then go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's just read maybe the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Not really commenting on them a lot, but Ephesians chapter 2, just to remind us. And you, talking about us, hath he quickened. God made us alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Boy, that's a powerful, powerful little phrase. But God. And what about God? Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened or made us together with Christ, made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The psalmist, in his limited understanding, says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He didn't know all about the cross and the resurrection, but he said, I trust that God is going to bring me through to eternal life. And if Paul, writing the Ephesians, says, but God made us alive. Folks, our salvation is not our doing, it's God's doing on our behalf. Our salvation is God's gift. We ought to be thanking the Lord and praising the Lord and honoring the Lord and glorifying the Lord because of the wonderful, wonderful salvation we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way but Jesus. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, there's so much confusion today. Some folks say, all religions are good. Any religion will get you to heaven. Certain people say, our religion, our denomination will get you there, but nobody else's. Like this preacher went, this brand new pastor, new preacher went to an older pastor and said, how do you get God to talk to him, to you? And he says, are you a part of our denomination? Nope. Well, God don't talk to anybody but us. Oh, how foolish. There are people that think if you go through certain rituals, then you're going to be saved. There are people that think if you do good deeds, you're going to be saved. I think everybody here with any, probably everybody that's sitting here, heard of Mother Teresa and the work that she did with the poor and downtrodden in India. Now, when she died and stood at the gate of heaven, I don't know that it went like this, but it could have. And they said, why should we let you into heaven? Here's my baptismal certificate. That's not good enough. Here's my membership card from the Catholic Church. That's not good enough. Here's where they did last rites when I died. That's not good enough. Here's a record of all the good deeds I did for dozens of years in India. That's not good enough. The only thing that would get her into heaven was a relationship with Jesus. I think she's probably saved, and then if she was, and I believe she was. I never met the lady and don't know her heart, but things I've read, I think she really was saved. Then all of the good works she did will add to her reward. But the reward comes after you get to heaven, and it doesn't get you into heaven. It's so important that we understand the truth. The only way into heaven is through Jesus. I've been debating and debating and debating whether to use the next illustration for lest I offend somebody. But I'm going to use it, and I hope I don't offend anybody if you'll listen closely to what I'm saying. When President Trump was elected the first time, I saw a picture of him surrounded by a group of evangelical ministers. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't. And they said, he is a believer in Jesus. I took them at his word. Because if anybody walks this aisle and says, preacher, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I can't see their heart. I have to take them at their word. But you know, a few weeks ago, President Trump was quoted as saying, I really want to go to heaven, but I don't know. I think right now I'm pretty low on the ladder. But I think if I can stop some wars and save a lot of people's lives, that'll move me way on up the ladder. Now, folks, that's a misunderstanding. That's a misunderstanding. And I hope, now here's what I want you to do with me. Pray for him. Pray that he's got a religious council, Paula White and some others, that meet with him regularly. There's a Baptist preacher from Oklahoma that's in Congress. Our representative here, Mark Harris, former pastor of First Baptist Church in Charlotte, is in on Congress. Pray that one of these folks will make this way of salvation clear to him. That's what we need to be doing, not only with him, but anybody else. It's a shame if anybody dies without Christ and say, nobody ever told me. We need to pray for somebody to make it clear. Now, he may be saved. He may be more saved than I am. I don't know. But from what was said, I'm not sure he really understands. And so please pray for him and for those that, like Mark Harris, that have access to him to share the real plan of salvation. That, Mr. President, the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not stopping wars. It's not anything else. But believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, let me add one other thing. About a week later, and raise your hand if you anybody else got this text. It said, please send money so that we can get President Trump into heaven. Am I the only one that got that text? Please send money so that we can get President Trump into heaven. Well, I deleted it and didn't send any money. Because what did the psalmist just say? We can't get anybody into heaven. And I tried to think, what is the thinking of this person? And it took about 2 weeks and it finally dawned on me. Now let me tell you a little story. When I moved to the mountains, there's a couple in my church who a little older than me, and they were looking after a relative, a man who, his wife was dead, He had no kids. And it was like first cousin, second cousin, three times removed or something. But there was a family connection. They were looking after him. And this man that they were looking after was an absolute, total atheist. He hated preachers. He hated religion. He wanted nothing to do. And he wouldn't even tolerate the former pastor there at Dutch Cove. He sort of tolerated me. And he ended up in a nursing home. And when I'd go to the local hospital there in Haywood County, I'd go within 100 yards of that nursing home. So I started stopping about once a week. Now, I never got him to accept Jesus. I didn't push it. But evidently, I made an impression because they said when he died, they found a notebook where he recorded every visit I made with him. Well, they asked me to do a little funeral. It's the most oppressive, bleak, dark funeral I've preached in 60 years. It's like the devil just dancing around. When the man's wife died years before I got there, her last words to him were, "I'll see you in hell." His last words to his dying wife were, "I'll meet you there." You can imagine how gloomy that service was. Well, about a month later, this couple in my church that attended to this man came in and said, he had a relative up in one of the New England states, and this relative has given thousands of dollars to a priest to say a lot of novenas to get this man out of hell, into purgatory, and into heaven. Now, I don't really know what a novena is, but I tell you this, you can't give the priest or the preacher enough money to pray you out of hell into heaven. It's just not possible. So the only thing I can think of is this guy was, it was not President Trump that sent the request for money. It was not him, it was somebody else. So the only thing I can figure is maybe this guy was a Catholic and he thinks if he raises enough money and pays enough priest, he can ensure that the president gets to heaven. No, nobody gets to heaven except through Jesus. You remember when Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus? And the rich man dies and he's in torment. And he's talking to Abraham and he's trying to get some drop of water on his tongue and all of that. Abraham didn't tell him, you better hope your brothers go down to the synagogue and get them to say enough prayers to get you out of hell. He said, there's a great gulf fixed and you can't come here and we can't come there. It's over. Folks, the psalmist is getting to the reality of eternity. The reality of eternity. I don't know anybody's heart. I know people, I think, you know, that they're saved. And I know way am I trying to throw off on President Trump. I'm just trying to say what I read in the news. I pray that he's saved. I pray that original picture that I saw back in 16 was his heart, that he really does know Jesus. But we can't do novenas or whatever they are or anything else to get us into heaven. The only thing that counts is a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Please, 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 let's not make folks think there's any other way. It's sad to pop their bubble. It's sad to pop their bubble. You know, when a deacon comes up to you and says, and you're a 23-year-old pastor, and he says, And I think all good people are going to heaven. And you think, man, you missed it. Neither is there salvation in any other than in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead and confess is him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. And that goes from the White House to Ed's house to your house. That's the only way. That's the only way. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Just think for a moment. Do you know of somebody that's confused about the way to heaven? Would you pray for them right now? Just ask them to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to go to them and impart to them the plan of salvation. Would you be willing to go and be the one that makes it real, makes it clear? Father, this morning, I pray for our president. I pray for his family. I pray for the others in the cabinet, the Senate, the House of Representatives. I pray for those in the Supreme Court and in the lesser courts. Lord, I don't know the hearts of any of those folks. But I know this. I know Jesus died for all of them. And when I say all of them, I say all of us, me included. And Father, I thank you that it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Father, I pray for a revival move across this nation where millions will be born into the family of God. All across the political spectrum, all across the economic landscape, all across the sports and entertainment. And yes, Lord, even in the churches where people are just members but don't know Jesus. Oh, Father, please send revival. Please send revival. Touch hearts and lives for Jesus. Lord, I know you want us all in heaven. And so, Father, bring about that move of God in this nation that will sweep many into a last day's revival. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, we plant, we water, but it's you who gives the increase. So Lord, as in the days of Acts, may you add daily those who are being saved. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.